Hello y'all, my name is Araya Sunshine. Welcome or welcome back to my channel. I think temporarily I'm gonna be switching from like 50 minute, 30 minutes, like an hour long videos, like on my podcast, The Mean He Podcast, to shorter videos because I will be starting school. I'm actually technically already starting school, and so my schedule's gonna be different. And while I love speaking, I love making videos, at this moment, that is not more important than my schooling. But hear me when I say evangelizing is always important, but in the formats that I do, like talking about culture and things like that, that is not more important than my future career, babe, because I want to be a teacher, okay? And we have to get those grades right. So today I wanted to talk about the aesthetics that have been placed on church, and not only the aesthetics that have been placed on church, but the fact that we do need like your basic boring churches. And I put those in quotation marks because there's nothing basic and boring about the church, which is the bride of Christ. And let me put that right now. Let me put that in at the 1 minute mark that I need to put that Bible verse up, because knowing me, I will forget. And the camera is shaking because I have my laptop right here, so I do apologize for that. But I wanted to just give off some quick like fundamental things that we should know as Christians, but do not be ashamed if you don't know this. Just continue to read your words so that you can think about these things. But in churches, we are not required to have LED lights. We're not required to have smoke machines. We're not required to do raffle tickets and things like that. There's a church here in Lubbock, Texas that does things similar to that. And it's great for when you're in your infancy, whenever you're learning about the Bible, but to have that long term, you can get used to like a playful church. I don't really know how else to explain that. Or a church that's so focused on culture that you have lost the plot. A lot of times today, we fall into aesthetics, like the aesthetic of being that girl, the it girl, clean girl aesthetic, which is, that just sounds very odd in and of itself. There's aesthetics of being a hood rat. There's aesthetics of being ghetto, which some of those words honestly contradict themselves, but you get the point. It's the aesthetic this, aesthetic that, boss woman aesthetic. So she has her nails done, her hair done all the time. She has no mistakes. The gym girl aesthetic. She's always in the gym, even on her period, even on bad days. She gets things done. We have aesthetics for everything, but what we should not have aesthetics for is church, because there was nothing aesthetic about our Savior dying on the cross. There is nothing aesthetic about us having to repent from our old ways and having to turn around and live a life like Christ. There's nothing aesthetic about us in this verse is brought up in Luke, I think it's 9:23, having to take up our crosses daily and to follow Christ, having to deny our flesh. There's nothing aesthetic about that. There's nothing aesthetic about the fact that if you don't get right with God, you will be in eternal damnation without the presence of God. There is nothing aesthetic about having to live a narrow way and not a broad way like everyone else, that you can make it to heaven. There's nothing aesthetic about that. So I do not believe that churches should be trying to follow an aesthetic. I literally looked at a church today because I'm moving to Dallas and I need biblically sound churches. And one of the churches that I found, let me say this first, it is adjacent to a different church, but it's for young adults. And they were basically saying that like, it's like church, but like nothing you've ever experienced before. And you have to be careful with terms like that, because you'll start to think that your church, for whatever reason, is better than another church because you don't do church like the traditional people do. But I'll say this now, do not get so caught up in the fact that you want your church to be aesthetic and it's pleasing to the younger population or only a certain age of people, like, or a demographic, that you forget about the message of Christ. Of course, it's important to reach people, but not so much the fact where you have to conform the gospel in order to save people, because you didn't really save anybody if you had to change the gospel. You just created a lukewarm Christian, which even then, can you even really be a lukewarm Christian? Because you're either all in or you're all out. But some biblical requirements for a church are as follows: to be greeting one another. And I'm actually reading this off of a site. It literally says, what does the Bible require of churches, from glennandpaula.com. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Show hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:9. Honor one another. Romans 12:10. Live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:16. Serve one another. Galatians 5:13. through 14, comfort one another, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. And comforting does not mean promoting someone's sin, especially because, like, we know it's Pride Month and various things like that. That does not mean that you cause someone's sin to accelerate and you put it on a pedestal because you're too afraid to speak against things. It just means that when you speak the truth, make sure that you also are there to comfort them. Whenever someone is going through a hard time, read Galatians 6, understand how you can help them as a Christian, as a brother and sister in Christ. You are to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. You are to teach and admonish one another. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You are to be forbearing with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. You are to forgive one another, which is this something that I struggle with. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Confessing your sins to one another. James 5, 16. Bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 2. I didn't even know they were going to bring up Galatians 6, but I'm glad they did. You're to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And the list goes on, but the list does not include, you have to have LED lights. You have to have smoke machines. You have to make sure that the youth come in by playing games with them and all that stuff. The simplicity of the gospel is that we are sinners. God did not create us inherently to be sinful, but he created us to be good. And we see that in Genesis. But because of our sinful ways, we messed up. And I know so many people get choked up on this. They're like, well, I'm not Adam and I'm not Eve, so I didn't mess up. People do not understand that Adam or Adam in Hebrew means mankind. Adam and Eve just represent all of us. So even if his name wasn't Adam, let's say his name was Timothy and Eve's name was Samantha. Timothy and Samantha, they still would have messed up even if it was me. Araya and, what's a guy's name? Araya and Matthew. It doesn't matter what the two coupling of the names were. We were still going to mess up anyways. And because we've messed up, we need a savior. We needed someone to come and to fix things for us. And in the Old Testament, we had a law system that we followed by, we meaning mankind and our ancestors, that they followed by in the Old Testament. But it wasn't perfect because we were always the problem. A lot of times as well, people are like, oh, if we're not supposed to follow the Old Testament law, like, let's do away with everything. So, like, we don't even need the Ten Commandments. No, baby, you skipped a lot. It just means that, like, the ceremonial laws that they had back then with slaughtering animals and not being able to have defects and things like that, we don't have to adhere to that today. The social laws that they had back then, we don't have to adhere to that today. But the moral laws, 10,000% we have to adhere to, because that deals with our morality, and God never changed in terms of our morality and how he created our brains. But it's so important, y'all, to understand that it's okay to have a basic, boring church. It's okay to go to a small church that not many people know of, and it's not aesthetic, and it doesn't always have this cute but not really cute picture of somebody crying during worship. It doesn't have to be like that. It's okay for you to go to a mundane church. It's okay for your congregation to be pretty small as long as the word of God is preached. And on the flip side, if you go to a huge church and you're not, and you're plugged in and you're okay with, like, not knowing every single person personably and, like, on a first name basis, that is okay as well, as long as doctrine is being preached. And again, if you're like, well, how do I know if the correct doctrine is being preached? Pick this up. Your pastor, he cannot be the only person that is directing you toward the Bible. You need to be in communities that are directing you toward the Bible, and you need to be reading the word yourself so that you can be locked in. Okay? Okay. I love y'all. Please have a blessed day. And please know, y'all, there should be nothing aesthetic about church. That doesn't mean, like, don't dress cute and, like, you know, whatever. Follow the convictions of your heart in terms of modesty, though. And remember that church is not a fashion show, but we have just gotten into this habit of, like, trying to push culture out so far that we are forgetting Christ. Like, it's like, which C do you want? Do you want the C for Christ in your church, or do you want C for culture? Because it seems as if in the American church, all we care about is pushing culture. And I just kind of feel like that's crazy. So, Araya signing out.